MTV Cast.
Hey, Eddie O'Day from the Eastern Divide Trail. I did not mean to let it go this long without making a call, so I guess there's some stories to tell. I think I called in from leaving Mulberry Gap last in Georgia, which is now a few states ago. But yeah, I made it over into Dalton, met up with some friends, which was really cool. Elizabeth and Jason, I used to work with back a few years ago, and had a nice dinner, early dinner, like 4 o'clock. Then pushed on into Snake Creek Gap, made it to, I guess, Snake Creek Gap proper. So maybe 17 miles into the rockiness. Jeff Williams, honcho, race director these days for TNGA, picked me up and put me up for the night, which was really nice. Both to have a place to stay and not be sleeping in that parking lot, and break up that section just because it's such a hike a bike. And I don't have suspension on this bike, so I'm not riding a whole lot of it. I rode a lot more than I expected I would, but it's still, you know, pretty chunky in there, and just it's always a hike a bike no matter what bike I have. So it was nice to break up. It's good for the mental and good for the physical. And then put me back out there the next day, which did involve me oversleeping. I was going to get up early, and he was going to take me into the trail before he went to work, and he knocked on the door as he was ready to head out, and I was still in bed. So that didn't work out, but did get back on trail, back straight into some hike a bike. As I expected, Georgia was pretty brutal, but I broke it up into a bunch of small chunks, which mentally helped a lot, and I'm sure physically helped a lot to break it down so that I know what it's like or what happens to my body when I try to push through it all at once, and it breaks down, and then I go sit for days, and that wasn't the plan. So I pushed on all the way over to Cave Springs. On my way there, I got some trail magic, thanks Daryl, and just a little cache of food, which was really nice. There's not a lot of supply options without leaving the route out there. And but found fresh water. I did filter some water out of a sketchy creek, but I never did drink it, and I ended up tossing that bottle. And then I had my first real solid crash. I had a crash the night before, going into Snake Creek. I think it's called Swamp Creek. It was kind of just a slow motion thing. My front tire got hung up going through a creek. It's all over. But I did land pretty hard on my hip, and I'm calling in now, like a week later, and I still have that same bruise. So there's that. So the next day, so I'm coming out of, what is it called? Taylor Ridge. And it crosses over, I think it's Highway 27, and you go to Mack White Gap. So I'm about to drop into this kind of chunky double track that heads down to that Highway 27. And I don't know if my tire went first, as in it caused the crash, or it was a result of the crash. Either way, my front tire came out from underneath me real fast. And I went down pretty hard. I managed to pretty much just keep my hands on the bars all the way to the ground and take a good roll, and deflect it off of my shoulder instead of straight through it. So, I got some bruises and scrapes, but, nothing that's going to last too long. Pretty good bruise in my forearm. That was really the one part that really was kind of painful for the next couple of days, as I got into some chunkier trail. I won't say that, because there's still 5 or 6 miles, a good chunk left of, no more than that, 8 or 9 miles to go all the way down to High Point, a chunky trail to get through with that sore forearm. And it just made it hard to hold the bars when the big chunks hit. And but yeah, the crash did do some damage to the bike. So my front tire was flat, my handlebars had turned, I don't know, 45 degrees to my front wheel. My light mount and navigation mounts were all messed up. The ties broken off and whatnot that were holding everything together. And then I landed on the drive side, so I tore up my hanger. So I spent about an hour, probably not maybe all at once, but I had to stop a few times to keep messing around, mostly with the drivetrain to keep the derailleur from just shifting up over the top of the cassette. Ultimately, I think I just ended up not taking that last shift. So I kind of lost my smallest cog and had to be super careful when I got to the big one, which I used a lot in that bit because it is steep in there. Made it out. High Point Trail is so trash. It's so sad to see. They used to be so much fun to rip down that at the end of all of that. Sort of knowing you're at the end of TNGA and that trail is just so eroded. I came down it last year. So it's accelerated a lot lately. I do remember being a little chunky last year, but there's so much stuff to walk and a lot of trees down. Anyway, pushed on to Cave Springs actually before I got there. I stopped in Tusa at the little gas station. While I was eating there, Jamie Youngblood stopped in and brought me a couple sandwiches, which was fantastic. So I had so much food, so I already just ate what I was going to eat from the gas station, which was probably not filling enough, but you can only eat so much of that stuff. And then, so it was good to visit with him for a little bit. He was on his way home from the Tally Tango, Florida, on his way to. And then, yeah, I moved on to Cave Springs, did a really nice inn. Right where the spring itself is, there's a little park, and right next to that, maybe 100 yards from the spring, is this old, I think it was a school for the deaf, called Hearn Inn, and really comfortable, not expensive at all, just a really cool place to be. Next day, started out of there, and the goal was to get over to somewhere in the Skyway, try to do a pretty good-sized push. I've been doing like these 55-ish mile days in Georgia. There's a whole lot of climbing for each of those days, so fairly short mileage days, though, and I was looking to get some bigger mileage, and that also would work out just if we meet up with Audrey. So I could not find anything for breakfast in Cave Springs, unfortunately. But I had a leftover Chick-fil-A sandwich from Jamie's visit the night before, so that became breakfast. And found a coffee shop at least. I did have a really nice Americano, extra espresso. And then got out on the Comet. Jason Atwood met me for a little while there. And very briefly, Hardwick, Greg met me. He was out on the Silver, or Chief Ladega, I guess it is, on that side. And then we turned on to Duggar Mountain, and Hardwick peeled off Jason Road with me for another, 6 or 8 miles before he turned back. And then I was on my own, headed for the Skyway section into Alabama. So one more state down. That was pretty rad. Always feels really good across the state line. And then I forget how far it is across there, 90 miles maybe? No, not 90. I think that was my total for the day, 60 miles. About 25 miles of that pavement, somewhere in that pavement. Josh Benefield showed up with this big bag of barbecue sandwiches, and I just gorged myself on 2 pork sandwiches. Right before the biggest climb of the day, which maybe not the smartest move from that aspect, but I have been having huge meals and going for bike rides for months now, so pretty used to it. And it was everything I needed because, again, I didn't have any breakfast in Cave Springs, so I was so ready to eat real food. you know, bars and everything. They do the job. They keep me moving.
Hey, Eddie, on the EDC, I don't know where I got cut off there, so just realize I'm talking to myself and the phone's off. So anyways, yeah, from Sylacauga, did a bunch of bike work. Mr. Peters took us back up on the Skyway and dropped us off at Bulls, or actually before Bulls Gap. So we rode that, met Audrey and I, and maybe 20 miles-ish, and then she peeled off to head home, and I continued on. Not gonna lie, that next 10 miles was pretty painful. Her leaving, also sort of knowing that I'm going to be alone for at least 5-6 days until maybe I get into Florida and start running again. Mentally challenging just to keep motivated and keep pedaling and plowing on. So put together a little plan to get out past Flag Mountain, which is basically, I guess, the official end of the Appalachian Mountains. Not a big climb, maybe 2.5 miles, something like that. And then there was one more smaller climb after that, was maybe 1.5 miles. And so I had Mr. Peters, Stephen, come pick me up again, take me into Sylacauga. But he texted me in the last, I don't know, couple miles, saying I was about to be caught. So that meant game on. So I had a nice race with him for a little while. We got onto some chunky two-track, and that gave me a little advantage. Yeah. Got up and over the last climb and descent, and that was fun. Gave me a little motivation to get after it and cover some ground, so that was cool. And then back to Sylacauga, he put me up for the night and then dropped me back off in the same place, and I was off. It was a time trial from there to Thorsby. This part of the route just goes out of its way to not hit towns. It's challenging in that way. I don't quite understand it because there's a lot of dirt to be had going in and out of these towns. So it's not like there's you're not missing out on much dirt. Whoever put it together really didn't want to go into towns. And I kind of like towns because there's food, something other than a gas station. But Thorsby had resupply waiting for me, and I got a friend, former coworker, Taylor Pruitt. His father lives out that way, and actually he was going to be in town. They left me some grilled cheese at the post office. I don't know what kind of arrangements you have to do to get grilled cheese deliveries, but I like it. And then maybe 5 or 6 miles later, they found me on route. Stop and say hey. So that was kind of fun. After my little pity party I had the night before, I wasn't going to see anybody, so it was cool to see somebody. After that, it's pretty uneventful. Aside from seeing a couple of big timber rattlers crossing the road, they're actually really just sunning themselves in the road. They don't rattle. They don't tell you they're there. They just look like a big stick. So you get close enough to see it's something else. And then into Selma. Now the people in Selma were, I'd say, on par in friendliness to Canadians. I mean, the cars, people driving were just so respectful, gave me so much space. Weren't passing on blind hills like they seem to do everywhere else in blind turns. Actually waiting for a minute and being patient and being kind and smart. I mean, how you not have an accident. So got into town and there's one restaurant that's like sit down restaurant called the Tally Ho. So
that is where I went. I got a really nice steak and had a real nice steak dinner, vegetables, a couple glasses of wine. One of the guys that was this customer walking out, you know, obviously I look a little different than most, sitting there in my kit. She started asking me some questions. Just gave me a really nice welcome to town. And then some lady sitting behind me, oh, I forget the name, I should have said some lady, but she kind of overheard that conversation and a little bit about riding bikes. Started asking questions and chatting me up. And I must have mentioned that I was staying at whatever hotel, at the Holiday Inn Express or something. And so fast forward a few hours, I'm locked out of the laundry room, trying to get my laundry moved over to the dryer and basically go to bed. I run back down to the lobby to get my card functioning again. I get down there and there's a bag of goodies and a note waiting for me there that she had dropped off, which was really sweet and just totally out of the blue. Just really nice, kind thing to do. So that was really nice. So I really good feelings about Selma, Alabama. I did finally get to sleep and get out of there. Not a lot to report after that, to be honest. There was a really cool Civil War era, early to mid-1800s church that I happened upon. The only reason I saw it is I stopped to change my podcast or something like that. I was trying to do it while riding, and the sun was hitting the screen, whatever. I couldn't see it, so I stopped. Then I look over, and this church is right next to me. I was like, whoa. So, went and explored that for a little bit. That was really cool. A lot of old graves. Obviously, you dig in the time frame. The church itself, the structure of it was intact. Well, most of it had been gutted. But rolled on. Found one resupply I wasn't planning on, something called the Purple Bowl, which was a nice find. And they had some hot food. Nothing fancy, burger, fries. But unexpected, so that was cool. And made it down to, I went a little off route to Evergreen, Alabama. So had a nice big day, covered ground pretty well. Had tailwinds from Hurricane Ian, which turned out to be absolutely nothing for me. If anything, I got tailwinds most, for 3 or 4 days because of it. So I had a lot of people worried for me, but zero happened. But yeah, made it into Evergreen pretty late. But got a room and hit Wendy's right before it closed. And then, kind of the same drill. Woke up, had a big breakfast, got out of there, got down to, made the cross into Florida. So, yay, last state line. Bad part is there was still, there's still 1,400 miles left. Try not to think about that in the moment, just that I crossed the state line. So out of Alabama and into Florida, got a little bit of sugar sand, you got to have a little introduction to Florida, but nothing too bad. One navigational challenge right at the very end of the day, unfortunately, where I just couldn't get to the road I was looking for. And it kept kind of, as I kept circling the area, I kept kind of basically in people's backyards, and there's a lot of no trespassing, not a very welcoming area. Things are fenced off. There's actually a posted no trespassing signs all over a road that was very obviously public. There's a bunch of houses back there, and I could see the mailboxes, a couple hundred yards down. So obviously not a private drive. But I don't want to push my luck that much either. In a state that, as far as I know, still has, you can basically shoot first when you're, if you want. So didn't want to push my luck too much. And I circled out of there, jumped on a paved road into Milton, Florida. Actually ended up on this sidewalk for a second. And then it turns into this old
brick road from the 1920s. So that was kind of a cool find.
So cool old brick road. And then I had made a reservation online maybe 20, 30 miles out when I was pretty sure I was going to make it there. Someplace called Blackwater Inn in Milton. Don't ever stay there. The guy's an absolute jerk. Got there at about 11, had to make a Waffle House stop and get some food. Hit up a gas station and filled my pockets up with food again and get over there at 11, which should not be a big deal for a hotel on next to a highway. And he was very disturbed at the hour that I was there, told me check-in was at 3 p.m. And basically hard no, you're not getting a room tonight. So he had canceled my reservation. When I had done it online, but I didn't get any sort of notification about that. I don't know how that works. And I used some app, which doesn't have a human on the other end, to find out how that works and or complain about it, but whatever. It was not far, maybe half mile to another hotel where they have 24-hour service. So that's where I went. Even better, they had laundry, so able to wash some clothes and get some sleep. And push out of there. Did not try to go back and find that road again. I just moved on. Let the powers that be know that I could not find that section. And maybe that part of the trail needs a little work. And then that puts me out into Elgin Air Force Base. So I had to actually take care of that in the mornings. You need a permit to get out there. I'd looked into all this before I left, 2 months ago. So I had to kind of refresh myself on what that was all about, how to do it, get that permit, not a big deal. But got out there, had more navigational challenges. Luckily I have direct contact with, Carlos, who, made this part of the route. Most of the bikepacking things in Florida, they were, are his doing, his fault. So a couple of texts back and forth, realized I'm someplace I should not be and get that corrected, back to the road I'm supposed to be on. Tons of sugar sand. I think I want to say it was like 70 miles. Maybe it wasn't quite that long, 60 miles in the base property. And it's just on and off sugar sand. There's a little bit of paved in there. And where it's hard packed and paved, you can go pretty fast. I mean, I can do 12, 16 miles an hour. But when it's not, and you're off and walking, you're doing 1.5, 2 miles an hour. And it was just back and forth on that over and over and over again. Culverts that were washed out, and have to kind of hike in around those. The upside is there's plenty of water to, filter, and the water's very clear, very spring fed. So that part was cool. It is a military base, so I did see a lot of jets flying around, helicopters, doing maneuvers as they were heading into that, and then fighter jets doing things. At night, it was more something like a cargo plane. Couldn't quite make it out because it was night. Running loops over and over again. So that was all pretty cool. You pop out of all that to this big test facility. I have no idea what goes on in there. A big, odd, very well lit up building in the middle of nowhere. And that was kind of the end of the challenging part. And 20 miles of pavement into Freeport, hit some gas station there, and then onto a little town called Ebro, and got a nice, comfortable, clean room there. Nobody complained about checking in at 12:30 at night. No laundry, unfortunately, but clean and comfortable and cheap. I'll take that. So next day, Ebro was a gas station breakfast.